A sermon on Numbers 11, verses 4 through 29. I'll read the scripture. The rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive this people? Did I give birth to them, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries a suckling child,' to the land that you promised an oath to their ancestors? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' And I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you're going to treat me, put me to death at once, if I have ever found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of the meeting and have them take their place there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. So they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 19, verse 14. Amen. Today I'm going to preach on the scripture reading from Numbers, obviously, not only for a change, but also because of all the readings for this week, the good news was coming out of the book of Numbers for me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I know it might have been a minute since you've dived into the book of Numbers, so let's get reacquainted a bit first. Numbers is the fourth of the five books called the Pentateuch, or the Torah. And it's divided into two main sections, the first being the telling of the history of the first generation to leave Egypt. Think Exodus story. And the second section is the history of the second generation, those who would be the ones to eventually make it to the Promised Land. Our reading today is from the first section, but it's also a transitional section in and of itself. We tend to label it in the theology circle as the wilderness journey section. See, the Israelites are traveling away from Sinai, just beginning on this longer wilderness journey towards Moab and the Promised Land. There's a lot of overlap and familiar story here, right? Teaching and situations from Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and Moses is the guy. So those pieces, I hope, felt familiar to you. We're in the 11th chapter today. It's sometimes referred to as the murmuring, or in our modern language, we might label it the complaint department. And Moses, as the leader, is the target of these murmurs and complaints. Most of the complaining has to do with the wilderness itself, right? The lack of food choice, the sense that this freedom march isn't at all what it was cracked up to be. Sounds like a classic church council discussion to me, like, when do we eat, and what the heck is the pastor doing in the worship space this Sunday, and does anyone know why Patty brewed the coffee so weak? And Moses adds himself to these complaints, specifically for him about taking on the burden of the leadership role and the burden of fielding all the complaints that are rolling in. To top it off, we also have God, who is frustrated and angry with God's people and their ingratitude. Sounds like a very uplifting story to preach on, Vicar. Real good choice. So why did I choose this scripture to share the message with you today? It's exactly because God is angry and frustrated. Moses is angry and frustrated and breaking under the wilderness circumstance. The people are frustrated, angry, and also breaking down under the wilderness circumstances. Doesn't that sound like where we are right now in our world? Frustrated, weary, wishing for how it used to be, feeling like we have exchanged one set of tyrants for another set, and yet no one seems to be in charge. Wondering if there will ever be an end to this wilderness. Worrying about what is to become of this generation and the next. At first glance, it sounds like the people are complaining and being selfish in their complaints. They have manna, for goodness sakes. They're no longer slaves in Egypt. They know they are God's people and have received the law. And Moses is large and in charge. So what's going on here? Let's step back a moment and really hear what the people are actually saying, to hear their complaints, but with different ears. What if they aren't complaining about Moses per se, but are complaining that they feel like they are yoked once again to one leader? They lack voice. They lack control. They're not engaged with the future and the community itself. Could they even feel like they are under a new form of tyranny, similar to the form that they knew in Egypt, but in this new tyranny, they also lack the familiar comforts of home, even if they might appear very meager to us. In Egypt, they had Pharaoh, yes, and they had meat and melon and cucumbers, leeks, garlic, and onions. Yes, they were working under the whip, but they also had a place to call home and a sense of knowing what the future held for them. Bleak as that future looked, it was known. And poor Moses, he was the target as the leader for all this backlash, and he felt it was misplaced. And he himself rages and vents to God for giving him the burden of that leadership. He tells God in no uncertain terms, he's not responsible for these people. He did not birth them. He didn't tell him his own oath, but spoke from God, and yet they come weeping to him and grow angry with his perceived lack of leadership and ability, and still God allows that to be placed on Moses. And God gets frustrated hearing this from the people and from Moses, but this time, instead of burning everyone up, just a hint, God did that at the very beginning of the chapter, but we didn't read that part. God decides to take the leadership burden and responsibility and disperse it throughout the people. God's solution is to remove solitary leadership and create community tasked with determining its future in shared burden together. In many ways, God designed right here in Numbers democracy. Maybe not the Greeks' idea in the first place. So God's Spirit is distributed throughout, and the power to lead is given to many, and still there were complaints. Now the complaint, this new complaint, was that too many people had the power. Can't win for losing with this group. And Moses has a wonderful lesson to share here too with us. Moses, in response, says something prophetic that we also need to listen to in the here and now. Sharing the burden also means sharing in the gifts of others and making space. Would that all of God's people feel empowered and not only a jealous few. Think of that world, my friends. Think of that world. How much in our modern world there is still problems that would be addressed by making this change. We want leaders to make decisions, and yet we rail against them when they do. But we fail to engage ourselves in this decision-making processes. We also have many groups of people who are actively barred from even having a seat at the decision-making table, either historically, systematically, or culturally so. Ask yourself, have you ever worried that you would have to decrease in order for others to increase? And let me challenge you to think about that in a different way. Is there plenty of burden in the world to go around? Is there plenty of space for others, even if your space shrinks a bit? Have you been taking up too much space in the first place? Is there plenty of hope to be renewed if we choose to focus on different things? Is there plenty of work to be done on our systems, our institutions, our structures, and yes, in ourselves? Is going back to the way things used to be making progress, or does it just mean you feel more comfortable there? And what is the cost of that comfort to you and to those around you? Is having strong feelings about all of this okay? And what about allowing ourselves to feel them, all the while not getting stuck in them so that they burn us up and burn those around us? See, leadership is a huge responsibility. I feel it as your vicar. I struggle with it daily, and like Moses, I also hear the complaints, and I want to complain out to God to them as well. And what I hear in this scripture is God speaking back to me and to all of us. We can't go back. Egypt isn't where our faces are set. We must move forward, even if it is into the wilderness. We have what we need. We must see that even when it seems we don't. We need wilderness people to share the burden, to hear our angry protest and to protest in fellowship with others, to champion our successes and to hold our hands during our failures. The promised land is out front, and we aren't even guaranteed to see it, to even set foot in it. But it has been promised, and God will provide. Many of us won't see the fruit of our labor, our struggle, the success, or even our work. But let that not stop us from doing what is needed now, being together in the moment, growing together even in our birth pangs. That, my beloveds, is the good news hiding in the word for us today. Thanks be to God. Amen.